right, it's time for the Word of God. We are going to go right in it. We confess over the Word of God. I want to say thank you to all the visitors. You guys have made the service just that much better, more special, so we do appreciate you. All right, so would you grab your Bibles and repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise this morning. Amen. All right, we're just going to do just a really brief recap. Before I do that, I'm going to pray over the offering. I'm going to pray over the sermon. I'm going to do it briefly as well. So let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, bless this sermon in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, we talked about something I briefly want to touch on because it's going to lead us into where we're going today. And it was called simply this, don't delay. And so we laid out just these points that were important. Divine delays are beautiful. So when God gives you divine delays, it's beautiful, but human delays are costly. And so the King James makes it says it this way. It says, make haste. And so, in other words, use time wisely. But we're going to go from make haste to another topic for today that just simply rhymes with make haste. And so go ahead and put it up there. Today we're going to talk about make space. Make space. And so everything we're going to talk about today is going to be about making space, and it will make sense by the time we wrap it up. So let me give you a working definition of the word space. And here it is from the Oxford Dictionary. It says this, a continuous area or expanse which is free, available, or unoccupied. So room, so space. Some of us men who've gotten older, we need more space in our waist. Our jeans got a little tighter. We need a little more space. But space can be a good thing. So what I'm going to do, I'm not going to waste a lot of time setting it up. I'm just going to talk about 4 points about making space. 4 points about making space. And by the time we get to the end of it, hopefully it gives you something that you can leave with and you can work with and have some understanding that will bless you as you move forward in the week to come. I do want to add this. Whenever you show up to church on Sunday morning, number one, before you get here, the devil's trying to stop you from getting here. And once you do get here or tune in or log in, the devil wants to be on your case after you've got in. So you have to have the mindset that I am in a battle. I am in warfare. I'm in the boxing match. And it's a possibility I may take some punches in this match as long as I still win it in the end. So don't be surprised when the devil throws everything he can at you. This year already, just stuff has been happening. God's been doing good things, and the devil's just been picking, messing, causing little issues. I shared that at the beginning of the year, after we left here on watch night service and prayed the old year out, the new year in, I went home to a cold house because we had trouble with our heat. And our heat downstairs was not working, but our heat upstairs was working. It took us a couple weeks, and we finally got the heat downstairs working. And the next day, the heat upstairs started cutting up. I'm like, good night. Got it all fixed, and we were fine. Last week, we show up to church here. The heat's out here. And then on this Friday, we had a party for my daughter at Clancy's Village Bowl. We go in there. The heat's out at Village Bowl. I mean, like, devil, the devil in this heat. My bones have been cold all 2026. But I'm still swinging. I'm still fighting. I understand that if that's all you got, devil, that must mean I'm doing something right.
So I need you to understand these little hiccups that happen in your life. They're trying to stop you, but you got to be stronger than that. Somebody say, I'm stronger than that.
All right, so these 4 points we're going to make, we're going to give you the 4 points, but I'm also going to add some takeaways and scripture. So how I'm going to do it, I'm going to give us the point, give us some takeaways, and then we'll work through the scripture so that you understand the point fully. Let's start off with the first point, which should be very simple, but let's making space for God. And this is the reason why I shared what I shared, because whenever you make space for God, the devil gets to picking. And sometimes you feel like I shouldn't have made space for God if I was going to go through this. But I need you to understand, we're living in an age where you have to make space for God because it is of premier importance. So let's give us takeaway A and takeaway B. We do that with each one of these. Takeaway A is this. Sometimes we've made space for everything and anything except for the most important thing. Let me give you an example. This morning, I normally don't do this for several reasons, but I normally don't go into my kids' bathroom. They share a bathroom, and me and my wife, we have a master bathroom, but I didn't want to walk to my bathroom, so I stopped in their bathroom, and when I got done, I got ready to wash my hands in their double sink. They have a double sink, and I seen hair products, I seen lotion, Vaseline, Aquaphor, stuff for acne, but I couldn't find no hand soap. I'm like, y'all got all of this, but the most important thing I can't find. I found a little bit spitch or something that I was able to kind of get my hands clean. I'm like, y'all got all of this, but you don't have the main thing. There's an old saying, we got to learn how to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, I understand if you have no knowledge of God, but if you have knowledge of God, why do you keep edging God out? The acronym for ego is edging God out. You've got to make room and make space for God. In the beginning, when Jesus showed up in the manger, the reason why he had to be in the manger, because there was no space and there was no room. But as people of God, we've got to make space. We can't have space for everything but God. I don't mind you watching His and Hers and watching it all the way through on your Netflix and chill days, but you got to give God some time, because the people of Netflix didn't put breath in your body. They didn't put a roof over your head. They didn't give you the activity of your limbs. Don't forget the main thing. The main thing is very important. Here's takeaway B. This is the season to prioritize God. I told a friend of mine, it feels like we're watching a soap opera living in this life. You've got Savannah Guthrie who can't find her mother. We're watching how a news anchor, his mother's gone, and then every other day something's coming from the White House that either tick you off or make you go crazy. Something happening all the time. And if it's not the White House, and if it's not on the news, it's just right here on Facebook. It's right here in Muncie. It's just, this is not the season to push God out. We need him now more than we ever needed him before. The old saints said, if we've ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now. Somebody said, do you need God to go to church? Another person said, you need God to go to Walmart. You need God to go to Dollar General. You need God to go to work. You need God to drive. And here, let me tell you something. Even when you're doing stuff for God, you need God. I'm on my way to our staff meeting this morning. I was running just a little late, and it seemed like this lady pulls in front of me and was taking her sweet old time. And I wanted to fuss her and say some stuff I wasn't supposed to say. I had to remind myself, oh, I'm trying to go to church. But sometimes we need God, so we got to make space for God. It's nothing like when someone has made space for you. It's
Some of y'all know next weekend is Valentine's Day. And some of y'all women, you want your husband or your boyfriend to not have it as an afterthought. Show me that you thought ahead of time, that you made space for me. Don't just go running to Payless and grab me some raggedy flowers. Think ahead. Go put some effort in this. And women, if you want your man to do this, God says the same thing. Make room for me. All right. Let's look at Revelation 3:19 says this. It says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. One of the best ways you can make space for God is just to repent, to apologize, to adjust, to change, to turn. That's one of the best ways you can make space for God. Next verse says this, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. If you know anything about this Revelation story, he was talking to the church. So he's not talking to people outside of God. He's saying my own people have me on the outside and I have to knock to get back in. Now, in my home, we normally use our garage to get into the house. But whenever I sometimes put my car in the shop, I forget to take the garage opener with me. So sometimes I come home and I got to knock to get in the house that I pay for because I have been shut out. And if they've got too much going on and they got their AirPods in and it's too much going on, sometimes I'm outside knocking and I can't even get in to the place that I own. I wonder how God feels when his people don't have space for him and he's got to knock to get in the place that he's supposed to own. The Bible says Jesus paid it all. It teaches us that. He paid it all, but sometimes he's locked out of our own lives. All right, moving right along. James 4:8 said this way. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. All you got to do is take a step toward him, and he will take a step toward you. And his steps are much bigger than your steps. So one step of yours with one step of his, he'll get to you quick. So we got to make room for him. And because this is a Black History Month, I'm going to close each point with a quote from a famous Black person. This is Howard Thurman, a famous Black philosopher. Said this, God is present in every situation, but we are not always present to God. In other words, God will show up for us, but will we show up for him? I know y'all ain't got to say it, you ain't got to tell it, but have you ever had a friend that you do most of the showing up? You ever had somebody in your life that is always on you to show up? That gets old after a while. And sometimes, even though God is God, he's always showing up for you when you're going to show up for him and make space. All right, let's move on to point number two, making space for the devil. Now, this don't seem to make sense, Pastor Andre, but I'm going to make it make sense. But in order to make it make sense, I got to say something that I need to apologize to my mama before I say it. I got to say something I need to apologize to my wife before I say it. I need to say something I got to apologize to the church before I say it, because I ain't supposed to know nothing about this, but there's an old song that somebody said, who's making love to your old lady while you out making love? I ain't supposed to know nothing about that. I apologize. But there's a revelation in that. While you play a playing out there thinking you big and bad, you've left a vacuum and the space open at home. Sometimes you forget you got to take care of home. And so what I'm saying is, I'll go ahead and put it up in a better way. Let me say it in a better way, a more pastoral way. Sometimes we make space by default. So, of course, we would never make space for the devil. But sometimes when you don't make space for God, by default, you're making space for the devil. just like the songwriter says, while you out there playing, you're making space for somebody to come in and be at your home. And I don't mean to get off on this, but men, it's funny how they can play, but they get mad when it happened to them. You mean all the junk you did, and you're going to get mad when it happened to you? I can't believe she did that. How? What you reap what you sow. But sometimes we make space for the devil by default. So how can I say it in another way? Let's put up another point. This will bring it home even more clear. Go ahead and put it up there. The Holy Spirit likes to fill empty spaces, but so do evil spirits. See, here's the thing about evil spirits and about Satan. Satan is not a creator. He's never created anything in his life. The only thing he can do is pervert and twist things. So he watches what God does, and then he tries to make his own perversion of it. So he sees how God wants to come inside of his people. So guess what he tries to do? He tries to beat God to the punch and come inside as well. So that's why you have what you call fences or boundaries or locks. It's so that you can keep things out that are supposed to be out. You don't want everything getting in. There's times in the summer that I get mad because there's big flies flying in my house, and then I realize that, oh, I left the garage open, or I left the door open too long. When I was young, they would yell at you say, don't stop running in and out of this house. You letting the air out. You letting stuff out I don't want to get out. But I need you to understand it works the same way. When you don't make space for God, you are opening the door for other stuff. I'm not talking about folk in the world. I'm talking about church folk. And sometimes we have unknowingly opened the door to stuff that will mess us up. We have to be very careful. We have to take inventory of who we are letting take up space in our lives, even if it's unwittingly, unknowingly. Now, just in case you think I'm just making stuff up, let's go to the scripture. Matthew 12 says it this way, verse 43. It says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. So the first step is when God comes in, he evicts everything that shouldn't be there. But the evicted one goes on out. Verse 44 says this. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. The last verse says this. It's very important. It says, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there, and so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. If Jesus said that about the generation of his day, what is he saying about the generation of our day? And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. But I do need you to understand that when God comes in and sweeps things clean, it's up to you to keep it clean. Now my wife is sweet. She's normally sweet around the house. But if you want to anger her, it's when she's just cleaned up something. If you come in, even me, if I come in and put the mail where she just cleaned up, she gets a little attitude because I just straightened it up and you're coming behind messing it up. So she's vigilant, making sure that I don't mess it up. Sometimes we got to get vigilant with the devil. When you got rid of the old man and the old woman that was no good, take some inventory so you just don't change faces and have the same spirit. Sometimes you're dating the same woman over and over and over. She looks different, but she has the same spirit because you don't understand that spirit that got out is always trying to come back home. So if you don't make space for God, unintentionally, you're making space for something else. All right, let's look at Ephesians 4:27. This makes it really clear. It says it this way. Neither give place to the devil. So that means sometimes you're going to have to stand your ground. Sometimes you're going to have to fight for your sanity. Sometimes you're going to have to fight for your boundaries. I do this example a lot, but I love doing it because when I was young, we played King of the Hill. And when you were on the King of the Hill, the only way you could stay as King of the Hill is you could not allow something to push you off. If you got up here, you had to hold your ground. You couldn't just be wishy-washy. You had to fight. You had to push. You had to stand. You had to bear down. And I'm trying to tell you, in this generation and in this age, you will lose your mind if you don't fight back. If you don't fight for your sanity. If you don't fight for your family. If you don't fight for your peace. If you don't fight depression. If you don't fight anxiety, if you don't fight bad choices, you'll fall for the okey-doke. You're going to have to fight because you have an enemy that's trying to tear you down. Let me say this to some of y'all. Some of y'all don't look like what you've been through. But here's the thing. The devil wants to take just 3, 4, 5 months and wear you out so you look like everything you've been through. You've come through too much to fold now. You've come too far to fall down now. You've gone through too much to give up now. Fight if you have to. Swing if you have to, because it's very important. Now, here's the thing about the devil. He's a defeated foe. So since he's a defeated foe, he's fighting a losing battle. The only thing that makes him feel good is if he can pull somebody down with him. I'm already losing like crabs in a barrel, but what I can do is reach up and pull somebody down that's advancing ahead of me. And many of you, you've already thwarted all he's done, and he just keeps trying to hit you. Don't make space for him, because it'll be too costly. All right, here's another quote. This is from Tertullian of North Africa. I don't have time to get in this, but since this is a Black History Month, I will say this. Tertullian is one of the early church fathers, and he lived in North Africa. I'm not for sure how dark his skin tone was, but it proves to us that the scriptures was in Africa long before they ever came to Europe. So when somebody tells you you're reading from a white man's Bible, they don't know their history. Before the white man ever touched it, folk in Africa already had it a long time ago, and that's just a side note. All right, put it up there, this quote. The devil's trick is to make us think we are safe when we're not. One of the worst things you can do is get, and we talked about it last week, is to get too comfortable. What's the worst things you can do is feel safety when you should be fighting, when you should be, let me give you an example. December 7, 1941, America had no desire to get into the conflict known as World War II. We were sitting beside trying to do our own thing, but then we were bombed and it threw us into the fight. Sometimes some of y'all gonna try to sit on the sideline, I ain't got time for that, and hell will come find you. So don't get safe and don't get comfortable. Understand that the enemy is trying to come in and you don't wanna make any room for him. You don't wanna give any room to the enemy. All right, that leads us to point number three. Point number three is making space for yourself. So we need to make space for God. In making space for God, we are hoping we're not making space for the enemy. But in the process, you've got to learn how to make space for yourself. And here's the point, because when you are fighting this fight of faith, you don't always feel Sunday morning anointing. Sometimes you feel the Tuesday blues. And in the process of fighting, you've got to learn how to give space for yourself. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? I mean, you've got to learn how to recognize your humanity in the midst of the fight. You're saved, you're sanctified, you went to church on Sunday morning, but you may have a human moment. you can't throw in the towel every time you have a human moment. None of us would be here, including me, if we weren't human. So you got to learn how to give space for yourself. Let's see if I can give us a couple things that will help us. So takeaway A is this. Hidden in the word space is the word paces. If you scramble up the word space, you'll get the word paces. So takeaway B is this. Going through the paces is a phrase meaning to be thoroughly tested. So when someone is interviewing someone, they say, I'm going to take her through the paces. I'm going to train her and take her through the paces. Any one of you mothers who've gone through the journey of labor, you've gone through the paces. So going through the paces is when you've been thoroughly tested. I wish I could ask some of y'all, how many times have you ever been stretched thin, stretched to your max? Now, I'm not talking about you're doing wrong things. You're doing right things and you're still stressed out. I know church folks say I'm blessed and highly favored, but even though you're blessed, you can be blessed and sometimes still get stressed because life will come at you fast and come at your hard. And so you have to understand it's okay to give yourself some space because you are in a fight. Now, I do like boxing, but I do understand that in boxing, in between the rounds, guess what the fighter gets to do? He gets to go sit down for a minute. He got to listen to his corner. But while he's sitting down, somebody is wiping his face. They helping him out. Sometimes you just need to sit down a minute and let somebody help you out. Let the spirit invigorate you. You don't have to be Superman all the time. It's okay to give yourself some space. All right, so I want to tell us this because it's something that happened to me, but I'm going to read the scripture first. 1 Peter 5:10 says this. It says, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now, before I tell you about this verse, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me that the Lord corrected me in. And so when I talked to the pastor and they said they were going to help pay the rest of our building off, some of you guys don't know we knew we were going to pay it off this year. We had $16,000 left, and a pastor called me up and said God told him to write us a check for the rest of the $16,000, paid it all off. The next couple days, I was praying to God, and I said, the blessings are coming so fast, it's getting kind of scary. And the Lord stopped me. He says, I no longer want you to be in the place where you're scared of the blessing. He said, here's the thing he was telling me. When you've suffered so long, you get so accustomed to suffering that suffering feels normal and blessing feels odd. But God says you're only supposed to suffer for a little while. But after you suffered, I'm going to step in. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to settle you. I'm going to bless your socks off. Some of y'all don't even know how to get blessed. You can't even take a compliment. Oh, I got this suit from Goodwill. No, stop talking all that foolishness. You deserve to be blessed. You've been through hell and high water, and you're still standing. You fought tooth and nail. It's time to believe that God's going to hook you up, not because of you, but because he said, I've washed you. And here's the thing, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is scheduled to come in the morning. I need you to understand, just like milk has an expiration date, trouble has an expiration date. It can't last always. You won't be broke forever. You won't be sick forever. You won't be crying forever. You won't have tears forever. I need to let you know God can step in. He can turn things around. He can pick you up. He can turn you around. He can set your feet on solid ground. You got to look for God to bring you on out. I feel a hookup anointing. Well, God will hook you up late in the midnight hour. God will hook you up. When folk walked out on you, God will hook you up. When the doctor said no, God will still say yes. I need you to hope again. I need you to believe again. I need you to trust again. Because the God that I serve, he's never lost a battle, and he's not going to lose in your case. Oh, hallelujah. So now, you got to start making space for yourself. I tell you all the time, if you don't have a passport, get you one. Just in case. If you've never driven a new car, just in case, walk on a car lot and just start dreaming again. Just in case, because it's a possibility God may be using you as a testimony to show people what I still can do. He's still a way maker. He's still a promise keeper. He's still a miracle worker. He's still light in the darkness. So make space for yourself. Start expecting again. Start believing it. Now, I'm not talking about people who will get caught up in the blessing. But when you have really suffered, when you've really gone through and you've buried the people we've buried and you've cried the tears we've cried, I'm not going to apologize for any blessing that comes my way. I'm not going to be sad about it. I can't help it if you don't like it. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So do me a favor. In 2026, stop worrying about haters. Stop giving attention and time to haters, because haters only hate greatness. So if they're hating, that means you're stepping to a level of greatness. Let the haters go ahead and hate, and let God keep doing what he's doing in your life, because it's time. So make space for it. All right, so let's move and just take it in a little more practical way. Mark 6:30-31 says this. This is powerful what Jesus says. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, and he told him all they had done and taught. So Jesus sent them out. They had great success doing what Jesus told them to do. And so they came back telling Jesus what had happened. So I know what Jesus said. He said, go back to church. Jesus said, get back in your scriptures. Jesus said, go ahead and fast. Do the Daniel fast and don't eat nothing with meat. Just eat salad. I know Jesus said that in the next verse, but look at what he said in the next verse. Then Jesus said, let us go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Listen, I love the church. I love God, but you ain't got to read the scriptures all the time. I love the church, but you ain't got to be in the church all the time. Some of y'all wouldn't be so evil if you would rest every now and then. Stop speaking in tongues and go to bed. Take a nap. Relax. You're too uptight. You chill. I mean, just. You ever met a Christian that was just too deep? Just chill. You're going to watch the Super Bowl tonight? Well, I'm praying that the Spirit of God. Oh, shut up. Just relax. Even Jesus said, sometimes you need to pull yourself away. Make space for yourself. Now, I didn't used to understand it, but I get it now, being married to my wife and having kids. Mothers have it harder than fathers. Kids don't even let the mama go to the bathroom. She try to go to the bathroom, they on the door. Give them a break. Some of y'all mothers need to take a you day. Not a girl's trip, not a family trip, just a you day. And just go somewhere and be by yourself and recollect your thoughts. Go sit at Starbucks. Go to the reservoir and look at the water and don't tell nobody what you're doing. Sometimes for your own sanity, you got to make space for yourself. Because we live in a day and age, people will take all your time if you let them.
All right, enough. Let's go on back to this verse. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Here's the thing. Don't get so spiritual you forget basic things. I was telling Sister Ruther last night, I was so grateful for Brother Darrell Cooper's party and the food because I got so busy that day. I said I was fasting and didn't know it. I hadn't eaten. Thank God. And I'm so glad when Brother Darrell, when you showed up, I was happy to see you, but I knew it was also eating time. Thank God. I got so busy, and sometimes I'm preaching to my own self. Sometimes I'm doing so much, I forget to do normal things. I'm on blood pressure medicine and forget to take my blood pressure because I'm running here, running there. Andre, slow down. Chill out. You're no good to anybody in a box, so take some time and rest. I'm saying it to all of y'all. Make space for yourself. Now, of course, God is going to call you to do things and call you to be at places. But when God calls you to rest, that's what you need to do. The older I get, one of my favorite things to do is to take middle of the day naps. Now, my wife said I'm not napping. She said anything over 2 hours, you sleeping. But for me, I'm telling you, Saturday about 2:30 p.m., what you doing, Andre? I'm getting into bed. And happy to do it. I'll be in flannel pajamas at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. I ain't got to impress nobody. I used to want to wash my car so my car be shiny. I don't care about nobody. I'm trying to get some rest. I've been in too many battles not to take some time for myself.
Amen. Now, I'm saved and I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But on Friday night, I'm going to be at the Weed Them Ones comedy tour with my wife. I will not take my Bible. I won't have my oil. I'm going to laugh at some jokes. Some of them may be inappropriate, and I'm still going to laugh because I'm trying to rest and recollect so I can be the best person that I need to be. Don't be so deep that you can't get some rest. Now, some of y'all who've been here, you know, this has been coming up over and over at our church. God is keep telling us to rest, so we better do it because it's very important. All right. So here's the thing I need you to understand. So we're going to add one more takeaway here. We're doing A and B, but I'm adding a C to this one because I think this is very important. Go ahead and flash it up for me. Your downtime is a space where you can give yourself grace. God wants me to tell you, stop giving everybody else grace but yourself. You give everybody else a pass. But the hardest person you're hard on is yourself. So sometimes when you're resting, God gives you a chance to give your own self some grace. Guess what? You're not going to do it right all the time, 100% of the time. You do need to repent, but sometimes you need to give yourself grace. Let me give you an example that always bothered me. Whenever I'm talking fast, which I have to do because I'm trying to preach in a fast manner, I always stutter. I always tongue twist my words some way, somehow. It's not hardly a sermon. I don't at least do it once or twice. And because I edit my own stuff to put it back on social media, it would irritate me. Like, man, why can't you get it right? I even did an exercise where I would say the blue-black bug bleeds blue blood, saying it over and over so I can get myself together. And then at some point, I just realized, how about you give yourself grace? See, here's the thing. When I'm sitting and listening to other people preach and they stutter, it don't bother me at all. I'm just cheering them on. Why am I so hard on myself? I need some of y'all to take a page out of my book and give yourself some grace. Oh, well, my house ain't as clean as I want it to be. It's okay. You're busy. Call somebody and let them clean it. Well, I don't want nobody to come and see how bad it's been. Do you want help or not? Stop being so hard on yourself. Give yourself some grace. Well, I picked up some extra pounds. Yeah, because you ate some extra cakes. It's going to be okay. Just run a little longer on the treadmill. Give yourself some grace. Some of y'all, you getting weight in the right places. It may not be that bad. It's okay. The thing I need you to understand, sometimes we let everybody else have a pass but us. Especially if you are a perfectionist. I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so being a perfectionist, I found out in my therapy with my therapy, because even though I'm saved, I have a real therapist, a licensed therapist, and I had to figure out, where is my perfection coming from? I'm trying to impress people that's not really being impressed. Let me tell you something. If a 34 convicted count felon can be in the White House, I'm going to give myself some grace. If half the nation could vote for somebody that incompetent, I'm going to give myself some grace too. And since it's Black History Month, let me say this. We were always taught that we had to be twice as good. We had to be a step ahead. But I look at some of the folk they hire, some of the folk they promote. I'm no longer trying to be better than all y'all. I'm going to take a break and still be ahead of some. All right, moving right along. Enough of that. Let's put this quote up. This is Audre Lorde. She's a Black poet. She said this: caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. Sometimes you just got to preserve yourself. It doesn't make you indulgent. Now, we always have to balance it out, because some of y'all will do too much. I don't see you again till August. Well, you told me to rest. I didn't mean do all that. Let's have some balance. All right. Point number four. Here's our last point. And just because it's our last point don't mean I'm going to be done real quick. I might take my time. But here's point number four. Making space for others. One of the reasons why we make space for ourselves, because the Bible says we love our neighbor as ourselves. So you have to learn how to love yourself, not so you can be selfish, but so that you can be a blessing to others. So here's a takeaway A for this one. Another interesting thing, hidden in the word space is the word capes. If you scramble up space, you can get paces. But you can also get capes. Let's put B up because it'll make it make sense for you. Not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes your biggest hero is the one who held space for you when you needed it most. Now, I just told you, you need a rest. You need to take time for yourself. But you have to have the discernment to know when someone in your sphere of influence needs you to hold space for them. Sometimes it's not always what you do. It's something called the ministry of presence. Just learning how to show up for people can make a difference. We've got to learn how to take care of ourselves with the goal of taking care of others. And sometimes you need to hold space for people. Now, let me talk to y'all real deep Christians. Sometimes it's not the time to tell them that they smell like weed. Well, boy, you smell just like weed. They know it. They're addicted. They just need you to hold space with them, to let them know I love you even though you may be struggling. And stop being so saved you forget when you were addicted. You forget when you were struggling. Well, I got to tell them the truth. Yes, but the Bible says speak the truth in love. And sometimes if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. Just hold space with people. Just be there. Now, since we have gone through so many losses and funerals, that's one thing I've learned, is sometimes I didn't have words to say. I just showed up. And people say, Pastor Andre, I thank you for being there. I'm like, I didn't know what to say, but my presence made a difference. This is what's important that some people don't understand. People think that pastors want the church feel so they can get a bigger offering. Some pastors want that. But people don't realize you don't know what you bring to a space. When you show up, you bring something that wasn't there. You, one of the things I like to eat, I like gumbo because it's a whole bunch of stuff that comes together. And when you mix it together, it makes the whole thing feel good. But if you take a few things out, it changes the entire taste. You don't know how important you are to just show up. Just be there. Just hold space with people. Just be there for others. There are some folk on my job, when they have a day off, it's one of the worst days because they bring so much joy to the place. Be one of those people that when you step in an atmosphere, you shift the atmosphere. I don't mean to pick on him, but just seeing Brother Daryl coming in and being celebrated and surprised was beautiful, because whenever he shows up, he brings something to the space. He brings some joy. Be one of those people that people would love to celebrate you. And I told my wife, I've been to the Knights of Columbus many times, and that's one of the most packed I've seen it, because you're celebrating someone who does stuff for others. Be the kind of people that if somebody wants to do something for you, they don't have to beg folk to come. I'm doing something for Andre, never mind. I'm busy. Be one of those people where people will adjust and arrange their schedule to be close to you because of the way that you impact others. We can't be the type of people that when we show up, we bring everybody else down. We ought to be uplifting. We ought to uplift space. We ought to be different, especially if you name the name of Christ, you ought to make a difference. And guess what? I have the mic, but I'm looking at a bunch of difference makers. I just singled him out because of the special time, but it's a whole bunch of y'all. I can single you out that you're making a difference, and that's why the devil don't like you, because when you wake up, the demons say they woke up again. They're about to change a space. They're about to change an atmosphere. They're about to put a smile that's going to shift things. They're going to do something. It's very important. So not all heroes wear capes. Many of us are just walking around, but we're making a marked difference. All right? Philippians 2:4 says it this way, really, really simple. It says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. I say it this way all the time. It's not my four and no more. My three and just me. My two, forget about you. My one, and I'm done, son. It's more than that. I wonder how Muncie would be if we all took inventory. It's easy to complain about something, but have you ever stepped up to make a difference? I wonder if we all decided we would make a difference. Oh, these kids, they just so wild. But have you ever talked to one of them? Have you smiled at one of them? Have you pulled some of them to the side? And I ain't saying it's always easy, because at the end of December, I went to Dollar General on this side of town, and I seen some folk in there, some young men. I wanted to go back out and get my gun just in case. I don't mind praying, but they looked a little rough for a little while. But sometimes that cannot be your default. So God allowed me not to put it on me, because he let me to understand I don't need that to make a difference. My spirit can make a difference. And some of y'all stop reading the news and being so scared to go places. Oh, I can't go here. No, you make the difference. God's spirit is in you. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You can make a difference. I'm looking at difference makers. All right, Romans 12:15, and this is so powerful. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. I'm grateful for the times we've weeped with people, but I'm also grateful that we're getting to get on the rejoicing side too. But be one of those people that when they get a blessing, they can't help but tell you because they know you're going to celebrate with them. If folk get a blessing and never tell you, you might be the hater in the group. But when folk have to tell you, that means you're one that celebrates with them too. All right, here's the last verse. Romans 15, 7 says this. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Let me end on a sour note. If you are a Christ follower, that means God done been with you through all your junk. We ain't talking about how you act when you in church. We talking about when don't nobody see you. God been with you through all of that, and you mean you can't receive somebody else? The scripture says, just as Christ has received you and hooked you up and took care of you, have the same mindset. I'm receiving other people. I'm loving on other people. And let me say this as I close. You can't always do it in the way you want to. We sometimes we have limited resources. We can't bless everybody we want to. Everybody that wants to borrow money, we can't give it all to them. But we can always pray. Don't underestimate the power of your prayer. Yes, I'm watching the news about Savannah and her mother. And I'm not in Arizona. I can't do anything about it. But right here in Muncie, I'm praying. Don't underestimate the power of your prayer. Pray where you are. You can make a difference. The Bible says, if I shut up heaven and my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear. So a lot is on us. We can make a difference in what the world sees if we would just receive them the way God receives them. Here's the final quote. And then we'll go into our confession and we're finished. This is from the famous Maya Angelou. She said this, people will never forget how you made them feel. Listen, I can preach to you all day long, but if I make you feel bad, it's going to be hard for you to listen to me. Church folk, people don't care about how much church you go to if outside of here you make folk feel bad. They remember how you make them feel. So make people feel loved. Make them feel important. Make them feel special. Make them feel celebrated. Make them feel encouraged. It's our job to adjust and change a generation and stop calling people illegal just because they look different from you. You don't know what they have in their background. You don't know about their papers. Stop being like everybody else and be one of those people that love. Guess what? All of us, if we're not Native American, we all really illegal. We got brought here illegal, and the other folks stole stuff illegal. Everybody is illegal, so we might as well all get along, get together, and let God be the center of everything and get back to the place where red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight because Jesus loves the little children of the world. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close with this confession. And we're going to also celebrate with some eating, some food as we go in celebrating these birthdays. So repeat after me, Father God, Father God, in this season, space is so important. Help me always make space for you, myself, and others, but never space for the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe it, shout amen and hallelujah. Here's our closing prayer. We're going to close with pray. Let me pray over you. Father God, for everyone under the sound of my voice, including our visitors and our members and those watching online, God, we have a heart to make space for you. And we know you fill up all the spaces. You fill up all the empty spaces. I pray for all the lonely people that are lonely and have been through so much. But God, through this word, step in and fill up those lonely places. And every demon and devil that tries to get in, we curse it in the name of Jesus. We rebuke them. We say that they are trespassing, trying to mess with the people of God. Because these people are your people. You paid a high price for them. And you will take them on into eternity as long as they would just trust in you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great, wonderful week. If you need prayer for any reason, you could come up to the front. They will pray with you.